Amen. I hope that you never lose sight of the amazement of it all. Amen. We get so accustomed to church, accustomed to songs like that. Even Amazing Grace, we sing that song like it's just another old song. But it is an amazing grace that God would love somebody like me enough to save me. And I do stand amazed this morning. Again, appreciate you being here. Take your Bibles with us this morning to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16 this morning. Matthew chapter 16, our heart has really been, seems like the Lord has just really burdened our heart over just the church, and not just gospel-like, but the church in general. And we preached last Sunday morning on that fact of Him being risen up, and we need to make much of Christ. And this morning, we want to preach a little bit this morning on the church again. Matthew chapter 16, we're going to begin reading in verse number 13 this morning. Matthew 16, verse 13. If you found your place, we would like to ask you if you can and would. Let's stand together out of honor and reverence to the Word of God. Matthew chapter number 16, verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and other Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Probably one of the greatest questions in the Bible. There's many questions found throughout the Word of God, but probably I would say that that question right there would probably rank up in the upper part of one of the greatest questions that you must answer. Who do you say He is? This morning, as I think about this world and I think about things that I hear, things I read, things I see, I can see what man says. But it isn't what they say that matters. It's what I say and what you say individually. So He asked the question, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Verse 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, I do ask you, God, once again, we sure need your help. God, help us today, Lord, not to think out of our heart. Help us today not to think out of our the way that we've been raised, but God, help us to see truth today and realize that truth is right no matter what we think or say. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us here at Gospel Light Baptist Church. God, I pray that you'd stir our souls during these days. Help us to see the importance of why we're here and what we're doing. God, help us to make much of it. I know the days are drawing nigh. We can only work while there's day. And Lord, I know there's coming a time when there'll be no more work. And Lord, I'm praying, Lord, that you'd help us to finish strong. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do here this morning, Lord. God, if there be somebody here that's lost, I pray today, God, would be the day they would see themselves lost. Today would be the day they'd see their need of a Savior. Today would be the day that they'd call upon your name. Lord, I pray for our youngins tonight, this morning, God, that are in their different classes. I pray that you'll touch, bless there. God, help the teachers. God, use them in a mighty way. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do here this morning, Lord. For it's in the precious name of Christ I do pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. And again this morning, I know you're here. And I'm glad you're here. I really am. And but I'm just saying this morning, we want to look this morning at the thought of the church. Now, I want to ask you this morning, and not to answer out loudly, but to ask yourself this morning, when you think about the church, what comes to your mind? Many times people will look by a building and say, well, there's the church. No, this is just a building built by the hands of men. The church, all through the Word of God, I think it's mentioned 150 sometimes, if I remember my counts right. Out of that, all but like two or three of them, every one of them represents to the body of Christ. The church, as we speak of the church, is made up of what? People. And we want to look this morning on that fact this morning of the church. And I know I read through all kinds of statistics. I wasn't going to take the time to throw all these numbers out at you. But there is a steady decline in our country for people getting involved with what they call the church. Now, I know in those statistics, when those people are actually talking to people, they're mentioning the church as a place that, like what we have here, a building, a function, a place that we come together. The church is really a calling out. It's a group of people that God has called out to do something for His honor and glory. And again, it is the body of Christ. But again, as we look at the world today that we live in, and this is where we're at. You know, I can't change anything of yesteryear. Some days I sure wish I could go back to the days of yesteryear. But this isn't the days where God's got us. It's not about what they did then. It's what we do now and what we do in the days ahead. And I know in our area, as we talk with people, and I hope you do talk to people, I hope you'll come back tonight. We're going to be preaching out of the book of Proverbs, continuing our study there. And we're going to look at a truth tonight that about wisdom that I think we're failing miserably at. I know I do. And I believe we together are failing at this. And so I hope you'll be back tonight on that, just to hear that truth. But today, many people look at the church as a dying thing. I look at churches around about. I even look at our church and I think, Lord, if you don't do something, you know, I can't see. You know, I sit back as a preacher. I sit back as a person that sees people and notice people. And I think, you know, there's a good opportunity if we don't see a growth in young people, if we don't see a growth in people that are concerned about the churches will die. There are churches, and I know what we read this evening or this morning. I know this morning that the church of the living God, it will not die. I know that. But there's groups all across our world that the church is dwindling down. The church is not going out and seeing people get saved. How do you build a church? Now that's a question you don't want to throw out too much. You can read all kinds of books on how to do this. But the problem is we've tried to take the church and make it into an organization. And the church has never been an organization. The church is an organism. It's alive. It's living. And I know that it will never die. But there are a lot of assemblies that are dying out. They're not going out and multiplying themselves. Now, I know this morning, if you go by the tendency of the world, if you want to go and say, I know a man. I'm not going to name his name. I'm ashamed of him. I'll be honest with you. He came out of my home church. He built a church in Statesville. This is how he built that church. And I kid you not, this man had a tremendous business mind. He took a survey. And he stood on the streets of Statesville. And for days handed out surveys and asked people to fill them out. He asked them what they wanted in a church. Are y'all okay this morning? Miss Karen, can you play us a lullaby? I think we're sleeping. This man went before people and asked people, what would you want in a church? Well, that's a loaded question. And that's the reason we have a lot of the organizations in our society today that call themselves churches. Just because you have church written on a sign or on a piece of paper does not make you part of the church of the living God. But he asked them what they wanted in a church. And he took those answers and began to build a place that offered what man said they wanted. You ask a youngin' what they want to eat? Candy, pizza, and ice cream, right? But we know as adults, well, some of the adults of today don't know this, but you should know if you're a parent that feeding your youngin' pizza, ice cream, and candy 3 times a day, 7 days a week, is not healthy. They need substance. They need something that will build them, something that will sustain them. So if we build a church off what man wants, I want to feel good. I want upbeatness. Hello? They want pizza, ice cream, and candy. And I'm all for, there's times for pizza, ice cream, and candy. But we can't live off pizza, ice cream, and candy. God is the church in our day. We need to get back to the definition of what the church really is. But I'm afraid that in the minds of people sitting in the pew, we don't know what that is. We've been driven by what we see. We've been driven by what we hear. We've been driven, and we see these churches over here with all the worldliness about them, and they grow. While the church that seems to hold to the old-fashioned ways of truth seems to either sustain or even back up. What's the problem? We have, again, I use the word church in a very broad way. We have a lot of churches today full of lost people. They're playing a religious game, but they have no God. Preacher, you saying all those people are lost? No, I'd never say that. I'm sure some of them are saved. But we're growing up a society of children that are fed off pizza, ice cream, and candy. And they will not sustain. So we think about the church, and here we find Christ as he speaks to his disciples here. He makes this great truth here. And I want to just look at some things this morning that we find here in these verses that we read here. Look at what he says there to Peter. Peter said in verse 16, he says in answer, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Is that not what we must do to know the truth? Must we not get to the place that he is God? Well, what an argument even today. Well, we don't know if he's God or not. No, he is God. He's the living God. He's the only way, the truth, the light. And Peter answers that, and then the Lord goes back to that place and says, "Well, good job, Peter." He says in verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but who? My Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Well, now, I want to make sure most of us are here understand that. He's not talking about Peter there. Peter is not the stone or rock of our church. I'm not busting up the Catholicism this morning, but a lot of people run to Peter as he's supposed to be the first pope. Well, how can that be? The pope supposedly never marries, and I find in my Bible that Peter had a mother-in-law. So we know that little fizzle don't last long. But it's not about Peter this morning. The church is built upon who? God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost. So again, what is the church? I think one of the things that I really draw out of this verse, that this really this encourages me this morning, is this fact. Notice again, verse number 18. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," notice the next wording, "I will build," and then notice that next part, "my church." See, if we would realize this morning that the church is not our church, It's His church. We would look different as we think about worshiping at the house of God. We would think about our dress. We would think about our attitude. We think about our mindset. We think about our provision. We think about our giving. Why? Because it's not made of people. This is God's church. Now again, the church isn't this building. The church isn't these pews. The church is built of believers, born again Christians, born again people that have given themselves unto God. So he says there, he says, it is His church, verse number 18. I will build my church. And again, I think that's the greatest thing I can say this morning when the Lord said it's my church. The Bible says in Psalms 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. See, this morning, I don't want to build the church the way I would build it. Why? Because it's not mine. I don't want to build the church the way you want to build it. Why? It's not yours. But this morning, when we realize that we are, well, to be part of something that big. I've never been in anything any bigger in my life. I've been in a lot of different organizations. I've been in a lot of different clubs. I've been in a lot of things that, you know, this is or that. But to realize this morning, I'm part of His church. And if you're saved this morning, you're part of His church. And we need to take note of the fact that every time we mention the church, and every time we reference the church, and everywhere we go, we are the church. That it's not us that we're representing. It's not Gospelite that we're representing. It's not the preacher that we represent. It's God Himself. Why? Because it's His church. So this morning we see the fact that it is His church. I'm glad what the Bible says there in 1 Timothy verse chapter 3, verse number 15, that we belong to the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. So again, when we think about the church this morning, what greater thing could there be? What more should we want to promote? And I keep getting the message tonight running through my head. I don't want to preach it. But you know, people today, they'll go out of their way to promote the next president, whoever that might be. They'll promote a fundraiser, whatever that might be. They'll promote something that's important to them. But this morning, if you're truly saved, if you know this, can you again think just for a moment, I was on my way to hell. I deserved hell. I was a rotten sinner on my way to hell. But God, He loved me. He came to me. He picked me up. He washed me off. He made me new. And now He birthed me into His family, the church of the living God, and the responsibilities of the church is what? The pillar. What is the pillar? Is the pillar something not that holds? Something that undergirds? Church, this morning, listen to me. We don't need to bow our heads. We don't need to lower ourselves. We need to get back to the realization that we belong to God. And this world needs the church. This world needs that pillar and ground of truth. And stand up for truth. But again, we have many today, these so-called churches. But what are they? What are they? They're man-built. They're off the idea. Listen. And that's one of the reasons this morning, and I'm not going to knock down certain places, but it bothers me how a lot of our colleges today are teaching men the business side of building something. Again, except the Lord build the house. We need more of God, less of me. We need God to get us back to the place where we weep and we beg God to see His face, to feel His power. Not the upbeat. And again, there's times for that. But we don't need all the dramatization or the worldliness that has come into our churches. We need God. So it says it's my church. Look a couple of places with me this morning on that thought. Look over in Ephesians chapter 5. The Lord told Peter, it is my church. And this morning, if you're saved, you belong to His church. Why is it His? Look here in Ephesians chapter 5. Verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives. Yeah, preacher, talk to my husband. He needs to love me. It's not what he's talking about. Husband, love your wives. How? Even as Christ. Also, notice, love the church. And what did he do? Gave himself for it. Boy, this morning, we should not neglect the church. This morning, we shouldn't run down the church. This morning, we shouldn't do anything to harm the church. Why? Because Christ gave himself for it. What is the it? We're the church. What? That he might, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That's what he's done to the church. He's taken something that was worthless, something that was terrible, marred and fouled, and he picked it up and he took it and he washed it through the Word of God. And now it's his. We did something, get my days right, Friday. We started cleaning out our basement. I loaded the back of my truck up with a bunch of stuff that I paid a lot of money for and took it to the Goodwill. It was junk. I thought I needed it. I thought I should have it. And after I got it, we didn't use it. And guess who's got it now? I don't know. I put it in the back of their truck and said, here you go. What are you saying? See, that's how man is. But God sees something that man would think that's nothing any good. There's nothing there to have. That was me. That was you. And he picked it up out of the horrible mud and murk of this old sinful world. And he took it and made something that was important to him. Friend, this morning you're important to God. You are his church. He claims me this morning. He said that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Cleanse what? The church. With the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself what? A glorious church. See, God didn't establish the church just to be establishing something. You know, as you look through the Word of God, I find three things that God put in place. First of all was the home. When he said, when you look through the Word, nowhere do I find where the Lord said, this is my house. This is my mule. This is my wagon. No. But I see him saying, that's my church. But he established the family and the home. He established actually government. But he also established what we call the church. See, this morning, again, church, this morning, we must. Well, preacher, we don't have to. You're right, you don't have to. But we're going to miss something great if we don't get back to the place of making much of the church. Amen. This world needs the church. What do you mean, preacher? I'll show you in a minute. Notice verse 27 again, Ephesians chapter 5, that he might present it to who? He's not presenting it to the world. He's presenting it unto who? Himself. That's my church, and it's mine. Don't you love kids? Our little three-year-old, that's mine, that's mine. I don't care what it is, it's his. Mine. We were the same way. This morning, that's how God looks at us this morning. He looks at sorry old me, and he says, that is mine. How does it make you feel? That he might present it, verse 27, to himself. How does he think of us? A glorious church. not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. Did you hear that? Just as much, some of you right now is thinking what you're going to eat here in a few minutes. Most of us probably done ate more than a lot of people in the world eat in a day's time. But we're sitting here thinking, boy, I'm hungry. I can't wait. Hurry up, preacher. K&W is calling my name. You're going to nourish your flesh. But look at what God says He does for our church, for His church. Verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. God this morning looks at His church, that's us, and He's attentive. Casting all our cares upon Him. Why? For He, what? Careth for us. That word careth means He's taking note. He's seeing our needs. He's looking ahead and looking behind. He's looking to the left. He's looking to the right. He's taking care of us. And this morning, have we lost the attention of who we are? We're His church. And He nourisheth us, provides for us. Verse 30, if we are members of His body. Have we forgotten that's what we are? Anybody ever had a gallbladder attack? I have. That little old sack of stuff in there, when it ain't working right, will make you as sick can be. You know what they did to mine? Took her out of there. It wasn't no good. This morning, that's not what God does. We are part of His body. Are we making His body sick this morning? Come on. I'm saying this morning, when we think about the church, when we think about what God has done for us and who we are made of. Look, I'm not just a church when I'm here. I'm the church Monday morning at work. I'm the church this afternoon at the restaurant. I'm the church at school. I'm the church at the gym. I'm the church wherever I go. He says, for we are members of His body. Of His flesh. Of why? Because it's His church. He said to Peter, that's my church. Verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. A great picture of how we, the church, I have to leave my father and mother. Who is that? I was born in this world. But when I got saved, I no longer belong to this world. I belong to Him. Amen. I am part of His body. I am part of His flesh. I am His bones. Just as my wife is, and that's the picture, just as when me and my wife got married, we became one. Now I know, again, we're getting ready to have our family and home meeting. Boy, there's a lot of men in this building right now. We need to be better husbands. Why? Because we don't love our wives the way that the Christ loves the church. But wives, there's a lot of wives in here this morning that need this because they don't reverence their husbands. Why? See, we're not separated. We're not come together as one. And in the church, again, not the building, not the pews, but the body of Christ. Is there division in the body? Is there some tugging away? Is there some deadness? Let me ask you something this morning. I've not had this put at me yet. I've been around a lot of people that have. Someday I might have this. If the doctor came to me or called me Monday or Tuesday, whatever it was, says, "Hey, Anthony, we need you to come in. Your x-ray showed a big old tumor." You know the first thing I'd tell that doctor? Get it out. It ain't supposed to be there. It's not helping me. It's hurting me. Get it out. Whatever it is in our lives that would hurt the body of Christ. Again, it's not your body. It's not your being. Christ said it is my church. This morning, we need to look at anything, not your neighbor, you. Whoa, so, no, you. What is it in my life that's hurting the body of Christ? See, we need to understand the realness of the fact that it's His church. Quit treating it like it's yours. It's His. Quickly this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." When we realize that truth, you'll live different. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, "You're bought with a price. Be not ye servants of men." So I see, first of all, here in Matthew chapter 16, let me get back there. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, he says, "It's my church." Second of all, I see here this morning about the church. Notice the next saying here. He says, "I say unto thee, Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock," notice he says, "I will build." I will build. Who does the building? He does the building. We must let Christ governing the building. What kind of building? Well, He's a faithful builder. He says, "I will." I was telling somebody this week, I forgot who I was talking to, when we built our house, I got so frustrated with our brick mason. I worked third shift. I'd come home. He called me the day before, said, "I'll be there the next day. You can count on it." I'd come home from working all night. I'd get to the house. I'd be working in there. I worked there about every day till lunchtime anyway. I'd get in there working, look down at my clock. He ain't coming today. I'd go home, go to bed, and sleep a little while, get up, call him. "Hey, buddy, I thought you said, oh, something come up. I'll be there tomorrow." Same thing over and over for days. I finally said, "Look, man, quit lying to me. Either say you're coming or don't come, whatever. Just tell me you're coming or you're not coming." See, he wasn't faithful. But friend, this morning, when it comes to the church, God is the faithful builder. He says, "I will." And this morning, I'm not counting out the church. Why? Because He's the one that builds it. And He is the one that will do it. He's a faithful builder. Notice what the foundations of the church is. It says, "Upon this rock." Who's that rock? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 there, it talks about that foundation that's been laid. This morning, I'm glad I know that He's a faithful builder, but I'm glad this morning it is a secure building. It's not going to fall. Why? Because it's His church. He's the builder. He's the foundation. He purchased it. He saved it. It's all His. Thirdly, this morning, not only do I see it's His church, I see His building. I see, third of all, this truth. And I think this is a fact that we lose sight of too. What did He say about the church? He says, "I'll build the church." Then notice the second thing there He says about the church. "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Hallelujah! Hey, hell's not... But we forget the fact there must be a battle. If the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it, apparently the gates of hell have come against it. And today, friend, the gates of hell are pushing and pushing and pushing upon the church. But just as sure as I know the foundation is true, I'm sure and sure this morning the fight has been fought and we're the winners. There's a battle, but the church will prevail. And then last of all this morning, I'm done. Again, it's His church. It's His building. He's the head. You know, that's. If you saw a body without a head, wouldn't you think that's a funny thing? That would be a what? A monster, wouldn't it? But Christ is the head of the church. But there's so many places today that call themselves a church but don't have the head. This morning, is Christ the head of our church? I see it is His church. I see He's the builder. I see the fight of the church. But then last of all, I see the future of the church. He tells Peter, he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I'm glad there is a future for the church. What's the purpose of the church? Yes, we are the pillar and the ground of the truth. We are what God has left here to be a light and a salt to this world. But He's constantly conforming that church unto what? His image. And He's going to present us one day unto Himself. A glorious church. A church without spot or without blemish. The future of the church is not this world. The future of the church is where? In heaven. See, this morning, what think ye of the church? What is the church to you? Is it just a building? Is it just a place that we come or don't come? How do you treat the church? We're going to have church tonight. Are you going to be here? We all have a choice. Now, I know things happen. I might not even be here tonight. I don't know. Things could happen. But I'm trying to get you to see it's important of what the church is. How important is it to you? It's not just something I take or don't take. It's not something I go or don't go. It's the body of Christ. It's His church. Amen. How do you treat the church? We've got to get back to seeing the church as God sees the church, not as we see the church. I thought about going over there in Revelations and looking at the churches there that God shows us. That latest church of that church age is what? Laodicean church. What is that kind of church? It's the church of the people. I don't want to be at the church of the people. Why? Because I belong to the church of God. It's His church. It's not my church. It's His church. I'm saying this morning, would you let God help us to re-examine the church? Look. This morning, if you or your loved one found out they needed a surgery, whatever it might be, would you not want to be at the best hospital there was, with the best doctor there is? Wouldn't you? Sure we would. Is not what the church is more important than what that doctor or that hospital is? Is it not, really? Let's be real. We're not dealing with pleasure, but I think it's pleasurable to come to church. I like coming to church. Church is my life. Well, preacher, don't you like to deer hunt? I do. But if I had to choose between deer hunting and church, guess where I'll be? I'll be at church. I'm saying this morning, Let's not lose sight of what the church really is. I don't care what we say it is, but what really is it? It's His body. How are you doing? Let's stand together this morning.